We're going to continue in our series on the first three kings of Israel. I said last week we may spend more than two Sundays talking about David. I only spent two Sundays on Saul and kind of had to edit it, hurry through it, but I'd like to take a little more time with David. Something I didn't do when I started this, and I don't want to spend a long time doing it, but Israel was under God's judgment at this time. When you read the law, God gave blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience in the law. And I hear a lot of these New Age gurus today that love to grab the blessings and preach the blessings, and you never hear them talk about the curses. And to me, that's one-sided. Is God a God of love or anger? Love. Is he also a God of anger? Yes. He's a God of justice, and he's also a God of mercy. A lot of them love today to portray God in only one light. Well, God's all love. God's all mercy. And they have cheapened the grace of God. They don't warn people about sin. You know, people, I've had people say, well, Jesus is love, and he's coming back in love. Well, you and I ain't reading the same book. My Bible says he's coming back with flaming fire to take vengeance on his enemies. And I'm not saying we need to teach that constantly, but we have to present both sides, or you're not telling the whole story. I think that's why Jesus said many on the day of judgment will say, but Lord, you know, we did all these things in your name. And he said, I'll never knew you. Because they only had half the truth. You can't be saved until you know you're a sinner. You can't be saved from sin until you confess that to God and turn from your sins, and then he will forgive you. It's not just, okay, God, I believe in Jesus, and now I'm a Christian. And so I want to present that this morning. Israel is under the judgment of God. I said in the law there was blessings and cursings, and I chose Leviticus 26 for the example, because this is what we're dealing with here in this part of the text. God said to the Jews, I will give you peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will remove harmful beasts from the land, and the sword shall not go through your land. You shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall chase 10,000, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. Now that was a blessing. Leviticus 26 is pretty extensive. I wasn't going to read all of it to you, but I wanted to mention this about the enemies. God said, if you're obeying me, five of you will be able to chase 1,000. Now, he says, but if you will not listen to me, if you will not do these commandments, if you spurn my statutes, if your soul abhors my rules, so that you will not do my commandments, but break my covenant, then I will do this to you. I will visit you with panic, with wasting disease and fever that consume the eyes and make the heart ache, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and you shall be struck down before your enemies. Those who hate you shall rule over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues you. As Paul said, behold the goodness and severity of God. So I want just to share that with you very briefly. They are under God's judgment. As I said at the beginning of this series, after Joshua and the elders died, it said Israel, there was a generation of Israel that didn't know God, and they began to worship the Canaanite gods. And God is bringing these curses, these punishments on them, just like he said he would in his word. And they were worshiping the Baals and the Ashtoreths. They weren't obeying his law. They didn't care. And in today's text, they're at a place that they told the prophet Samuel, we've sinned. We know we've sinned. We know we're under God's judgment. And he said, well, if you're going to turn to God, you got to turn with all your hearts. Put your Baals and your Ashtoreths away. Those were idols. He said, put them away. Seek God with your whole heart. And at this time frame that we're in, it says they lamented for God for 20 years. So it wasn't an immediate thing. They didn't say, well, God, we're sorry. And he said, okay. The thing was, he said, you have to seek me with all of your heart. And as we talked about Saul began following God with all of his heart, and then Saul quit. Saul didn't about face. He started doing what Saul wanted to do. He suffered because of that. He suffered judgment. The nation of Israel is still under this judgment. And today we're going to talk about a young man named David. We talked about him last week. God told the prophet Samuel, you tell Saul he's finished. I've rejected him, and I've chose somebody better than him. And Samuel went to David's dad's house. They had a dinner. As I said, his dad didn't even think to call David in. And he had seven sons pass before him. And Samuel said, none of these have been chosen by God. Do you have any more? And he said, well, yeah, the youngest is with the sheep. Samuel said, get him in here because we're not going to eat till he gets here. And when David come in, God said, that's the guy. So he anointed him. Now today we're going to talk about the battle with Goliath. I think it's a very important story. Samuel knew that David had been chosen by God to be the king. After this incident, Israel understood it. David's popularity just went through the roof after this battle with Goliath. So our text today is 1 Samuel 17, verses 41 through 51. I begin just previous to the battle. I would love to read the whole chapter, but for time's sake, we're not going to do that. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. I pray this morning, Lord, as we look at this section, this passage of scripture, that we will be encouraged by it, that we will come to understand that you are God and you win, and that if we are following you, Lord, we too will win. I thank you for the blessing of your word, for the truth of your word. And I just ask that you open our hearts to receive this from you. If anyone is struggling today, Lord, I pray that this message will be an encouragement to them. And Lord, I just thank you that we always have the victory in Christ Jesus. And it's in his name I offer this. Amen. Israel was under God's judgment. Now, when Joshua and the children of Israel went into Canaan, they were instructed to destroy all the Canaanites, but they didn't. After the death of Joshua, it says the people turned away from God, and God left five nations in Canaan to test them. The Philistines were one of those nations. Since they did not obey God and drive these people completely out, he said, I'm leaving five nations there, and they're going to test you. And boy, did they get tested. They're at a time that they, as I said, they've disobeyed God, they turned their backs on him, so now God's judging them. But he's still a God of mercy. You know, he didn't say, I'm done. He just said to the nation, you want to do this? Here's what goes with it. So now they're being harassed by the Philistines. They've been attacked by them. And on this occasion, Saul's still the king, and David has been playing the lyre for Saul. I mentioned that last week. Saul had an evil spirit descend on him, and David would come and play his lyre, and the spirit would lift off. And he would go back home, take care of his dad's sheep. So he was going back and forth. And his dad one day said, I want you to take this donkey with these gifts and go check on your brothers. His three oldest brothers had joined Saul for this battle. And he said, bring me a token back. You all know the story. I know you do. Well, David gets there, and Goliath comes out, and he starts his challenge. The Targum, which is another ancient version, gives a little more insight into the things that Goliath was saying. The scriptures say that Goliath, he just come out and said, pick a champion and we'll fight. In the Targum, it said, Goliath said, if Saul's not a coward, send him out to fight me. But if he is, pick another guy. So this was a direct attack against Saul by the giant. And the armies would line up to fight, one on one hill, one on the other. And sometimes they would fight. But whenever Goliath stepped out, the fight was over. And Goliath said to them, send a guy out. They call this camp fighting. You're in camp fighting. Send one guy out. If I kill him, you'll be our slaves. If you kill me, we'll be your slaves. And nobody would take him up on it. Well, David had got there. He'd brought the gifts. He ran to greet his brothers. And Goliath came out. And he started his ridicule of Israel. He started the ridicule against Saul. And David said, well, who's this uncircumcised Philistine? And I imagine some of the guys are going, he might hear you. Be quiet. And it said when the Israeli army saw him, they would flee. My dad called it retreating to the rear. You know, advance to the rear. They'd take a few steps back and say, aha, not us. And David said, well, what will the king do for the guy that takes care of this? And his brother Eliab got mad and said, what are you doing here? I know you. You just came to watch the battle. And David turned around and said, what did I do now? He said, I'm just asking a question. And he turns away from his brothers and he asks another guy. And they said, well, he'll give you his daughter to marry and he'll make your family free from taxes. That would appeal to me. Not so much the daughter thing, but hey, tax free. You know, I got to see the girl first. I wasn't going to jump in and commit to anything. And they take him to Saul. And Saul looks at David, and David says, don't be afraid, I will fight this guy. And what's Saul say? You're only a kid. He said, David, you're just a youth. This guy's been a warrior since his youth. You can't beat him. I want to tell you something, church. Whenever God lays a call on you, a purpose on you, I'm sorry to say there's generally always going to be somebody, God help us, even in the church, that's going to try to talk you out of it. They'll try to discourage you. You can't do that. That's foolish. And Saul said the same thing. He said, David, you can't do it. Well, I told you, David said, well, when I keep my father's sheep, I've had lions and bears come and steal sheep. And I run after them and I strike them and knock the sheep out of their mouth. And whenever they've turned against me, I grab them by the beard and I kill them. He's not bragging. David had a reputation when he was playing the lyre. When they told the king, let us find a guy to play music for you to get this spirit off of you. The guys that found David told Saul, this is a man of war. This is a brave man. David already had that reputation. And when David talked to Saul, Saul looked at him and said, there's no way. You can't beat this guy. David told him about the lions and the bears. And it's what David says to Saul that reveals his heart. He said, look, the same Lord that delivered me from the paw of the lion and the bear, he'll deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. I don't think Saul said, well, praise God. Here's big bad Saul, the Philistine killer. He had that reputation, you know, this guy's a Philistine killer, he's a warrior. And he was sitting under a tree shaking in his boots every time Goliath would lay that challenge out there. I could see the army when Goliath said, well, if Saul isn't a coward, they'd look back and say, King? Saul, I ain't going out there. They're all trembling. They're all afraid. They don't want to face this guy. And Goliath was a very intimidating figure. According to the scriptures, the description of him, he was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. Now, this wasn't uncommon in these days. If you remember when Moses and the Israelites destroyed Bashan, their king's name was Og, his bed was 13 and a half feet long. You remember when the spies came back and they said, there's giants in that land. We look like grasshoppers. The Bible itself bears witness there were giants in the land in those days. And Goliath was a descendant of one of them. This guy was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. His breastplate that he wore, the breastplate of brass, weighed 5,000 Hebrew shekels. In our equivalents, that's 157 pounds. I read one commentary where these scholars figured out the estimated weight of his armor, total body armor, would have been about 272 pounds. I saw a documentary years back, I think it was National Geographic, it's one of them yahoos, and they said, you know, we've studied the story of David and Goliath, and we've got it figured out. How did David defeat Goliath? Poor Goliath, because of his freakish size, he had a pituitary gland problem, and he was a weak man, sickly. I said, really? The dude wears a breastplate weighing 157 pounds, and you're trying to tell me he's weak? No. This man was a walking tank. He was the champion of the Philistines. Goliath had killed a lot of men. He was their ace in the hole. The head of his spear weighed 18 and a half pounds. He had a guy that carried his shield for him. You know, he was armed to the teeth, and he was just as mean as he could be, and he was used to just mowing over people. And when the Israelites saw him, they were terrified. Now here comes David, a shepherd. He's talking to Saul, and Saul finally realizes he can't talk him out of it. So said Saul took his armor and put it on David. Now I told you, Saul was a head and shoulder taller than the rest of the Jews. They estimated he could have been close to 7 feet tall himself. And he puts his armor on David and his sword. It said David tried to go and he couldn't. And David said, I can't use these. So he took the armor all off. You know what he did? It said he went to a brook and he got 5 stones for his sling. And he grabbed his shepherd's staff. And David marches out there and I can see him looking up at Goliath like that. Whoa. That's a big dude. And when Goliath looked at David, he said, are you kidding me? He's armed to the teeth. He's ready to go. And he said, all you got's a stick. That's all you're going to use as a stick? It said he cursed David by his gods. David wasn't moved by any of that. David's standing there just waiting. Said the Philistine cursed him. When I used to kickbox years ago, don't get excited, I wasn't any good at it. Sometimes I say I used to kickbox, people go, oh, you kickbox. Yeah, I wasn't any good at it. I had 20-some fights, 19 knockouts, and I quit because I got tired of getting knocked out. So that's the kind of fighter I was. But you would talk trash to your opponent. We call it psyching each other. I'm going to whip you so bad it'll make your mother cry. Stuff like that, you know. If you ever wonder what fighters are saying when they're up close, that's what they're doing. And Goliath says, oh, man, I'm going to feed you to the birds. I'm going to feed you to the wild beast. David said, no, that's not what's going to happen. He said, let me tell you what's going to happen. This day, the Lord God will deliver you into my hand. I said last week, David didn't say, yeah, I guess you haven't heard, I'm a bear killer. I've killed bears and lions. You ought to be a little bit scared of me, Philistine. He doesn't say that. I can see Saul and them things. You know, he was a brave kid. I mean, he's got a lot of guts, and boy, this will be the end of this. David said, you got a sword, you got a javelin, you got a spear, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. Yeah. What did David have? Faith. A lot of faith. You see, David was a godly man. He loved the Lord, and he loved the law of the Lord, and he obeyed both. He knew the covenant. I just read it to you. God said, one of you, five of you can chase 1,000. And David, I believe, was walking under the promises of those covenant. And he said, you're mine. David stepped in there and said, this is over. I come to you in the name of the Lord. And I can see Goliath just chuckling and think, this poor deluded kid. It said Goliath stepped down and started to walk towards David. I love what the scriptures say. David ran to meet him. Ran. He didn't walk. He ran. Goliath, he just took off a lumbering down through there. All right, well, here I come. And David said, charge! I mean, he headed right into Goliath at a full tilt. Took a rock out, slung it, and hit him right in the forehead. Now, he had a javelin helmet on, and a lot of them helmets had a nose piece to protect you from sling stones, and David hit him in the forehead. He didn't hit the helmet. He hit him in the forehead, and the rock sank in, and Goliath hit the dirt. I wonder what the Philistines saw when they saw their champion hit the ground like that. What? What just happened? I don't think Goliath thought much about anything. He was on the ground. And David, just before the fight, he said, number one, all the earth will know today that there is a God in Israel. Number two, all this assembly will know that this is the Lord's battle. He wasn't talking just about the Philistines. He was talking about the Jews. I almost think David may have been thinking, you brought this on yourselves. You forsook God. You forsook his law. Now we're being judged because of it. Saul, this isn't about you. I told you Saul had got to a place he thought it was all about him. And he's sitting up there shaking in his boots. And David was saying, not only will the earth know it, but you guys need to realize this. The Philistines are going to find it out. You need to understand this is the Lord's battle. Why did he use the word uncircumcised? Because the Philistines were not part of that covenant. They were in God's covenant. Now they had offended God, they had sinned against God, and they were under God's judgment. But David said, no. You're not going to deliver any of the animals. I'm going to deliver you to the animals and the whole host of the Philistine. You're mine. I own you. Well, after he hit him with a rock and the Philistine hit the ground, the scriptures say there was no sword in David's hand. So David run up and got on Goliath, pulled his sword out, and lopped his head off. And the scriptures say he held it up. And the Philistine army suddenly remembered they had other places they needed to be. That's my version. It said when they saw he was dead, they fled. I love the way the ESV words that. When they saw their champion was dead, they fled. That's pretty short to the point. I can't imagine what they thought. And this whole time, I can't say this enough, David was not boasting on David, on his abilities as a warrior. He had a reputation of being salty. That's what we called him when I was young. A guy that could fight and was pretty scrappy, he was salty. If we told you that guy's salty, that meant, you know, if you're going to go try to whip him, you better pack a lunch because you're going to be there a while. You know, he's not just going to lay down. David was salty. But David wasn't bragging on David. David was boasting on the Lord. He said, the Lord will hand you to me. The Lord will hand this army over to us. Well, when he chopped that head off and held it up in the air, so the Israeli army shouted and they went after the Philistines. Of course, they were already running. But I mean, boy, they found their courage and off they went. I believe that there were probably two Philistine soldiers running together, and one looked at the other and said, we better watch this kid, he's going places. And the other guy said, yeah, he really knows how to get ahead. That could have happened. Israel slaughtered them. Didn't wipe them out. They slaughtered them. They came back and spoiled the camp. David took the sword to his tent, took the head to Jerusalem. What did Saul say? I covered this in one message. It said, Saul eyed David suspiciously. Saul said, that's got to be the guy. We all have giants, church. Every one of us. And by giants, I mean they are as intimidating to us as Goliath was to Israel. We just look at things in our lives and we say, there's no way. I can't do this. I can't get through this. I can't get over this. But you remember, as David said, the battle is the Lord's. Especially if it's our enemies that stand against us. The church faces giants today. Political correctness. You need not talk like you guys. You shouldn't condemn people. You shouldn't judge people. And they seem like giants to us. We seem frustrated. What are we supposed to do? How are we going to minister in this world? How are we going to live in this world? Same way David did. I come to you in the name of the Lord. I'm glad for the truth of the word. I don't have to make anything up. It's there. All I'm required to do and all you're required to do is speak the truth. Okay? Let the chips fall where they will. Now, I'm not talking about name it and claim it. That disgusts me. Or that Christians have the power to speak things into existence. God's the only one that has that power. And if you've been told that, you're being deceived. Only God has that power. But we have the Word of God. We sang the hymn at the beginning. We stand on the promises. I would imagine David may have been a little nervous. I would be facing a guy that big. But David knew it wasn't his strength that was going to conquer this giant. He knew it was the Lord's. And he had the promises of God standing behind him. And David said, you're done. You just don't know it yet. Now, we're going to talk about some of the hardships David suffered. That there's an idea out there, well, if you follow the Lord, things are supposed to go easy. That's another deception, church. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have anguish, grief, and trouble, but he said, I overcame the world. You be of good cheer. Why do you think the scriptures talk so much to the people of God about being overcomers? You got to overcome. Jesus said, I already did it. It's like to me, he's left a path for us to follow. We're not walking blindly on our own. There's a path to follow. Jesus Christ laid it out. I love this story, and I know the kids love it in Sunday school because the little guy whips the big guy. But, oh, this man of faith and this man of love stepped up and said, enough's enough. He said, you have defied God, and we're not going to put up with that. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm not talking about arrogance or cockiness among believers, but the assurance we have in Jesus Christ. I've told you before, I've been through some terrible things as a believer. Things that made me want to throw my hands up and say, I'm done. What's the point? But Jesus Christ has got me through every one of them, and he will continue. I know there's more stuff coming. The longer I live, the more apt I am to go through other things. But he will get me through it. And he will get you through it. Doesn't mean it's pleasant. Doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. But it means he will get you through if you'll put your faith and trust in him.